Haters are the unsung heroes of success. They make us feel bad, sure. Support always makes us happier. But the hate can either break you or push you past your plateau. See, when people are always supporting us, we get comfortable. We get no pushback. And our motivation dies. Every successful person you've ever known was a pressure player. They feed off the hate. They thrive because of it. How you handle it is always your choice. Will you fall apart because of the opinion of someone that doesn't know you or understand your passion? People tell me, hell, they've told me my whole life, I wasn't capable of doing anything as great as I set out to achieve. I either wasn't smart enough or funny enough. The same people that tell me to add jokes to my videos, that my voice isn't good enough because I don't sound like this speaker or that speaker, or I don't yell enough. Yeah, that's a big one too. They call me out as the motivational speaker with no passion. These are the same people who sit there, talk shit to me one minute, and the next they're watching my video because they don't know how to deal with a certain situation. But what about you, man? That's what I want to know. Hate can either bring your drive back to life or tear away at you like a jackal, unrelenting. These people don't have remorse. They don't care if what they said makes you fail or makes you thrive. They aren't invested in your life. You are. So what's it gonna be? Our second thoughts creep into our heads, and that's fine. Think what you want. We'll bend, sure. But are we gonna break? Are we gonna let their words limit us? Because 5 years from now, they won't look back at what they said with regret. But we'll look back and wonder why these people with no insight on our lives or our motivation had so much power over our actions. Stop thinking about what you're fighting and start thinking about what you're fighting for. They'll tell me I have no passion. They don't know that after years of screwing around and thinking I had to be funny to be entertaining, I look at my life and the fact that my kids would grow up knowing their dad was a joke, that if I didn't wake the fuck up and step up, I'd get stepped on. Motivation is subjective. Maybe the music does it for you, maybe the video clips, maybe the voice, but for me it's the message. It's always been the message. I don't need the smoke and mirrors to believe in what I'm doing. Every video I write is my passion. It's me, and it's from the heart. Now put that into your dreams and never forget what you're fighting for.
Hey, what a real Connecticut. This your boy Drop, and I'm chilling with Connecticut's finest female, DJ Exclusive. Baby, you so exclusive. Now play that new jam for me.
The time has come.
Yeah. You see, I'ma talk my shit all through these songs today. I'm getting tired of y'all motherfuckers. Yeah.
I'ma take the subtle approach first.
You already know the vibes.
Let's go.
Lego!
I'm the best and there's nothing that you can do about it.
Facts.
Never needed a publicity stunt, let's tell the truth about it.
Facts.
Even in the core of the streets, you can't sway the youth about it. But keep running your mouth
and I swear I'm gonna knock the tooth about it.
I never claim to be nothing but who the fuck I am. Never sold cocaine in my life, but I'm still the fucking man. Understand, nothing you did makes you better, nigga.
Nothing.
You claim the streets, but the streets respect that cheddar, nigga. Luda got twice as much your life, you can charge it to him.
Woo!
I fit four of your houses inside my daughter's room.
Woo!
And still have room for young karma to play. Giving back to the children of tomorrow for good karma today.
So you can say what you wanna say and you can talk that talk.
But real niggas ain't doing no talking.
Cause we walk that walk.
Album for album, you can see I got a multi-million plan. So call yourself whatever you want.
But the multi-millionaire, nigga. Sick of you niggas. All of that phony shit y'all on. I am sick of it.
Everybody know this boy Kwame. I'm holding it down for DJ Exclusives. Just spinning,
man. Papa was a Rolling Stone, but now I got Rolling Stones in the bezel. Mama at home all alone, hustling, trying to keep this shit together. Young niggas smoking on gas, I'm living too fast, my foot on the pedal. If I go back to the past, my niggas ain't know we'll be rocking Coachella. If a nigga ever try me or play me, I buy him an iced out shovel. Dig your own grave, nigga, you pledge yourself, I put some cash on your schedule. If a bitch ever try to fillet me, huh, I just sit back and let her. Think she come up off the chores, whatever. My pockets came with extra cheddar. Sick of the fuck shit, I think that my skills getting better. With a stick, I'm at peace, Mandela. I'm willing to feed whoever. How can I help you? Nobody judge you but God. You can watch us beat the odds. This is no cat, no facade. John Rich and Black and we gon' beat the job. We gone, I'm spending cash, no card. I'm liking her natural ass, no fraud. If she got a fake ass, of course. Girl, ain't nothing wrong with enhancing this yours. From the back,
we enjoy. 100 rack, I'm attack with my boy. Got the clip poking out, we be showing. In and by the check out, we be knowing. In and out, we be going. On a 757 bond. And my AP say size is the phone. Better get you some bread where you from.
I put my meals on the crib. Cover myself, FNN is my shield. I spread the dime, go run you a drill. If you do the time, come home to a meal. Double my seal, sign another deal. G6 pills, money give me chills. I make the bitch hit her knee, she kneel. I make the stick hit when I'm in the field. I make the bitch lick it up like ill. Spend 100 racks on the teeth, not a grill. Looking at your diamonds on your neck ain't real. Nigga, you a bitch, let the Draco kill. What would I say? Spinning your block every day till you dead. On the edge, coding my man. Open your legs, I fuck with my stick in the bed. Shooting, not fighting like Craig. Bad bitches, they DM, they still in my thread. DM, they ain't never give us our cred. Cut it, rose gold, with the face ruby red. Put a hole in your head, not your legs. Put my hands on her head, she a pet. M-I-G-O, nigga, that's the set. Fuck that P-O, I'ma just pet. Why guts in my limo, it look like it's out. Bino, I hate your bitch, she said, ouch, hit a high note. Ouch, I'm rich, you rich, like Lino. Count your blessings, don't worry about the rivals. Grab my tongue, go read the Bible.
Listen, I came to pod, ladies and gentlemen. I came to get my shit off, ladies and gentlemen. And I came to hand out a couple of fuck yous today. Yeah.
He the GOAT, he the king.
Overrated.
He pop perks, he sip lean.
You overrated.
He got streams, he gangbang.
You overrated.
Look at his watch, look at his chain.
Street credit at niggas checking at Equifax. Got your necklace snatched while I sat where you was disrespected at. This is reckless rap. They telling me I need to chill. I'm killing niggas with single deals, smoking on that Atlantic Records pack. Yeah, and biting ass rappers I hate the most. You a Walmart Weezy, you a fake ass Ray and Ghost. Quickest
one, two, three.
I bring death to say the most. Alphabetical slaughter. Catch your L when the K is closed. Right behind you. Let me remind you, me and my niggas will find you and rewind you to a time when it was a drive-by. But now we be doing them drive-throughs. Serve you out the window in the bazooka and Ruger fry you. Like Ken when he Hadouken Ryu. Who can alter the prophecy? God MC, you gotta sacrifice a goat on the altar to talk to me. And any thoughts are offering me, crossing me like a martyr. We going on a coffin spree. We off in beats with more bars than a law degree.
So y'all understand.
Be all on your bullshit.
I came to body y'all.
When we aim, when we pull shit.
Go ahead, nigga.
You overrated, you're welcome, you overstated. And we ain't no joke on our paid in full shit. Most of that nigga. I'm acting niggerish, I'm ready to dick a bitch. Looking for the sickest chick that'll make me come, come, come again with the wickedness. Licking the licorice, thick as the Snickers, flyer than Icarus. Meanwhile, you just hyped a ridiculous life. Oh my god, he snapped. Oh my god, his beat slap. Oh my god, in capital letters, cause your tweets cap. Delete that, we don't need that. This is Nate Thomas Wilson, G-Rap.
Yeah, the streets back.
Massive with them toasters, blasting who the closest. Savage and atrocious, ratchets with attachments in them holsters. Crashing in them rovers, laughing at your soldiers. The way that work be stretching, you'd think the crack was doing yoga. Clashing with them jokers, bastards in the coma. Clapped them in the shoulder, blast them, then I stashed it in the sofa. They hazards to the culture, rap that isn't kosher. Spazzing on them cobra, slashed them, then I passed it to the vultures. I'm mad that this is over, had to get some closure. School of hard knocks with a graduate, ain't glad to get diplomas. These rappers sniffing coca, brag they get exposure. But I'm more passionate and vulgar, talented and dope.
Listen, all y'all talking shit about me? listen, man, get him.
Beef in the club, I'm that little white bitch that's gonna throw bottles. Me and the fam have this old motto. Fuck you, fuck them, fuck all of y'all. So what if this is not for kids? So what if there's 100 labels that got the bid? So what if I dream the devil dared me to sin? So what if the industry compares me to him? So what if I write hard?
Or is it really just a big fucking deal? Cause it's coming from a white broad.
So what? Hear me, so what if I bring it?
Most of these rappers will fold up.
I don't care if I might be on top. I can give a flying fuck if you like me or not.
Facts.
So what if you think I'm not the illest chick?
I don't care, you still got to feel this bitch.
I don't care.
Listen.
Haters that be loving the faders, we not concerned with what you put in the paper.
I don't care.
You staying focused while you trying to provoke us. We never cared if you're in this.
Listen.
Don't
give a fuck. Niggas know I'm booked.
Niggas know I'm reppin', they don't fuck with me.
Bitches know I'm seven, go ahead, get slick. Take this bitch off, get your
power.
Listen, nigga!
Slick shit. shit, hot shit, I'm so gutter. If I die tomorrow,
I resurrect through my young brother.
Oh God, got the one your first shorty spit hard.
And he rollin' with the brown broad.
Young Fox, don't co-sign shit, nigga, so she got to be a live bitch.
If we fuck with her,
niggas know how to fuck I flow.
It's a rap, I'm so back, a double high mode, nigga. Listen, man, I came to motherfucking pod, ladies and gentlemen. I came to motherfucking pod. It's a lot of shit on my mind. So I'ma open up the show like this. Y'all, it's your girl DJ Exclusive with the Nothing Podcast. This is episode 83, Double Murder. Gonna drop a bomb on that. Shout out to the Everything Lit family. Shout out to my sponsor. We gonna get into that a little bit later, but at this point in time, I wanna say fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? You know what? I'ma stop my rant so I can say fuck you to right.
B, I'm feeling it from the heart now, B.
Murder.
Yo, straight up, yo, this murder, Harlem World is the click. I'm with my nigga Killer, and we about to lay it down for y'all niggas. All y'all faggot ass niggas out there that wanna give us $300 for the tape and make a demo, fuck y'all niggas. All y'all bitches that wouldn't suck my dick when I was Mason Bether, fuck y'all bitches. And all y'all bitches that wanna fuck my nigga Huddy Combs cause he roll with me, fuck y'all bitches. And all y'all niggas that fucked around and made my nigga Blood can't be here, popping them niggas, man.
Fuck y'all niggas.
Fuck you.
You would never let me gamble and play numbers. You ain't talking about
fucking
too young.
What
about
fuck
that
you.
Fucking transit
fuck
cop
you.
Is there every time I have to fuck out the train?
Fuck you.
To play like he fucking ran the whole station.
Like he
had to run the whole fucking shit.
Fuck you.
That teacher who failed me.
Fuck you.
To that bitch who never bailed me.
Fuck
you. I wasn't getting out right, bitch.
Fuck you.
No, I got out.
Fuck you.
Plus she never gave me no bread.
Fuck you.
Plus she never gave me no hay. And your pussy was so whack.
It was whack, B. Man, fuck you.
Yeah, you thought I wouldn't go pro.
Now I'm fucking your hoe.
Fuck you. But I know these bitches wanna say fuck these niggas too, right? He wants you to lick his balls.
But yo, your dick is small.
Tell that nigga, fuck you. Fuck him, B.
Fuck you.
Yeah, he always wanna come beat it.
But the nigga never wanna eat it.
Fuck
him, man.
Camera eat it.
I don't care.
Fuck him. He never spends a dime. And never come home on time.
Fuck you. If you hate and fuck you. And if you trolling about on camera, fuck you.
Man, fuck you.
Oh, yeah. And if you used to fuck with me and you don't fuck with me, fuck ya. If you used to be an admin in my group and you not no more, fuck you. If you got a problem with me but you not man or woman enough to say it to my face, fuck you. If you want social media going back and forth with the ignorant bullshit, fuck you. Yow. See, I'm on my shit today. Let me light my blunt real quick because I'm on my shit today. Shout out to Penn Simmons. Now, yesterday, I was very mad at this nigga. Because for 2 years of doing a podcast, I never had to chase a nigga for an interview. I never had to go through what this nigga is making me go through for an interview. It's almost to the point where I'm like, man, keep your interview. It ain't that serious. You making me seem thirsty. You making me seem like I'm not the one with the platform. Now, I know he got fans. I know people fuck with him. Shit, I fuck with him. His album was amazing. But one thing I will never, ever, ever do is do for someone else what I don't do for other people. I've had people on this podcast that are pretty much a big deal. Shout out to my boy Joe Black. Even though I'm not currently on speaking terms with LDJ, shout out to LDJ. These motherfuckers is big deals. And I had them on my podcast and I didn't have to do all of the things that Mr. Penn Simmons, aka Benjamin Button, is alleging that I needed to do in order to get him in position for this podcast. Shout out to my sponsor, Ms. Karan. Me and him had a conversation. I let him know the importance of this podcast, of his episode. And it was pretty clear from that conversation, at least to me, that he knew Sunday was supposed to be the day that he was in Bridgeport in front of these mics getting it done. But because he actually flaked on the first interview, in my heart, in my mind, I kind of felt like this interview wasn't going to happen. I was just hoping for it. And this is why I got to stop thinking certain shit and feeling certain shit, because when I do, I manifest it. Same shit with my job. I've been feeling certain type of shit about my job and I manifested that. So I'm not going to drag Mr. Eric Benjamin Buttons. I'm not going to drag him, because I'm going to actually take 50% of accountability there and say, okay, he was expecting something and I was expecting something. And this is what I talk about, expectations, all of the time. You can't have expectations. You need to just be direct. So I should have just been direct, and I shouldn't expect it for him to hit me up and be like, okay, when, what am I going to do, this, that, and the third? I should have just been direct and been like, hey, this is what time I need you to be here to do this. But to be completely honest, by the time I woke up on Sunday, I was kind of checked out. I was kind of feeling like it wasn't going to happen based on everything that went down on Friday and how everything transpired. I honestly was literally feeling like it wasn't going to happen, and he didn't necessarily want it to happen as much as I wanted to happen. So that is the reason why on Sunday I was more so waiting for him, because I felt like on Friday I basically made him abundantly clear how important it was for me. I made him really aware of how much I wanted him up on this platform and to perform that interview. So I didn't feel like I needed any further correspondence. I think the only correspondence that I needed after that was, yo, I'm outside. All right, I'm coming to let you in. Like, I felt like once you knew that my availability was 100% open, that I was ready and it's important and I want you to be here, that you would be here. I didn't think that I needed to like hold your hand and be like, okay, good morning, it's Sunday, please be here at this time. But I understand that some people do things differently, and for some people you need to be just a little bit more direct with them. So like I said, shout out to Mr. Penn Simmons. I don't know if this interview is ever going to happen. If it does happen, I'm welcome to it, but I'm not about to just keep on stressing this nigga, trying to get him on my show, because it's almost to the point where I'm starting to feel like a dick rider and I don't like that shit. But what I learned in the process of trying to get him here and trying to work on the back end and work through the different things that he was experiencing at the time that was prohibiting him from getting here, I learned that I've been sharing space with someone that I thought that I was building with, someone that I thought was actually going to be my friend, someone that I was willing to do things for that I will not do for anyone else. Let me explain this. Since I started making beats, I've come a long way. And I've reached out to a lot of people and a lot of artists that I know that rap. And, you know, it's not like they super famous. It ain't like nothing like that. I've reached out to them and hoping that they could rap on my beats and help me develop. If you don't want to rap on it, hey, tell me what it needs. Shout out to Miss Mecca Ramirez. She was one of the people earlier that helped me to learn how to implement bass lines and 808s into my beats, because she said, and I quote, "Damn, this beat is hard, but I'm just waiting for it to drop. And it never drops. There's like really no bass with it." So from that comment and that feedback and that criticism, it helped me get better with my baselines and so on and so forth with my progressions. And this is all that I was asking niggas for. I wasn't asking for you to suck my dick and be like, yo, your first, second, third, fourth beat you made is fire. No, I was expecting for you to tell me what you liked and what you didn't like so it could be to the liking for you to actually rap on it. Then when I got to the level where I know niggas is just acting Hollywood. Shout out to Preem Gully. She got a name for herself out in Waterbury. She done bought at least 3 beats from me. Now, what she does with them, that's on her. I've had conversations with her where I feel like the beats that she bought is an example of old me, and I'm a better producer now than I am when I was making those beats for her. But the fact that she was spending $100, $150, $120 on these beats, and trust me, any producer that has ever produced for her, you know, she's not the easiest artist to produce for. She's very picky and she likes what she likes and she wants what she wants. She'll tell you, yeah, I want a beat and I'm going to buy it. But if you don't give her what it is that she wants or that works with her, she's not buying it. She's not fucking with it. I say that to say, if I've sold her beats, the very first beat that I ever made, I sold. Most of those beats that I was sending niggas, they were rappable. Niggas just was acting Hollywood. They was just acting too good. Cool. Now I'm to a level where the price is up on these niggas. Fuck y'all. But there were a couple of people that I met in this process of development where they were giving me a little pointers from the artist standpoint. First person I met that I built with, that I chilled with, phony as fuck. Not even gonna dignify that person with their name on my pod, nothing about them. I'm not about to disrespect them, but I'm gonna say they phony. Because one thing I know is you have time for the things that you would like to do and have time for. If you're trying to make friends and build a friendship with someone, but you never have time to interact with that person, you don't call that person, you don't check on that person, and then that person is starting to feel like, oh, well, they're interacting with you, they engaging with you, they supporting the shit that you got going on in your life, and they encouraging you and speaking power into you, but you're not reciprocating that. You don't even acknowledge them when they tag you on social media. Bitch, you not my friend. Stop saying that. Stop saying we locked in. Stop saying all of that shit. You're not my friend. You don't support me for real. You don't. Then there was another person that actually runs with this person. They're coming around me. I done chilled with this person a few times. And I was thinking that we were building a relationship. I was thinking that what was going on was me and this person was actually about to combine our talents and take what we have in common as far as being the black sheep and being accepted and take that and shock motherfuckers. But now I'm feeling like that wasn't the deal with Shorty. Because what I was experiencing and what I was going through as it pertains to my podcast, it should matter to anybody that claimed that they my friend. So if you claim that you my friend and you've already told me in advance that you are free and you are available, and I even confirmed that when I hit you up in basically a state of emergency, because I don't really want to hit niggas up and ask niggas shit. And you basically tell me the reason that you not gonna help me as someone that is supposed to be your friend is because helping me would seem too much like helping someone that you've decided that you don't want to fuck with. The actual words that were said to me is, oh, that sounds like a blank problem. I'm saying blank because I'm not going to include the people that don't have nothing to do with this or not privy of the conversation. But when that person said it sounds like a blank problem, they're referring to someone that I am well aware that they have problems with, but I wasn't aware that they had problems with Mr. Penn Simmons. And I thought that they were my friend. So when I reach out to them as it pertains to me, my podcast, and Penn Simmons, I'm not expecting a response that says, well, that person fucks with this person and I don't fuck with them. So yeah, I can't help you. My bad. Because that's what I got from it. And then you know what made things even crazier? If me and Penn was on the same page from the beginning, then I would have been in full acknowledgement that he was actually in Stanford when I was reaching out to this person. I was only reaching out to this person because I thought that he was in West Haven. So I understand why this is so funny and the universe is really in the retrograde state for real. People talking about that shit, but I am experiencing it firsthand. So basically, someone that has been coming around me, sharing my space, smoking with me, drinking with me, inviting me into their life and trying to become a part of my life has countless of my beats, okay, that they did not pay for, that I did not expect money for, except for what they claimed that they were going to pay for, but that is a whole nother story. I was like, fuck it. On the strength of what we building, if you feel like you can help me take my sound to the next level, because I know I can help you take your sound to the next level, and these motherfuckers is hating on you and motherfuckers hating on me, we could come together and do some shit. But you refusing to help me when everybody that knows me and quote unquote cares about me know the only thing that matters to me is this here podcast. My nothing merch brand and my music. That's the only thing that matters to me. So if you want to take your personal issues out and then allow that to make you not be a real friend to me, then I am sorry. We just can't be friends. We can't rock. And I guess the only way you're going to know that is if you hear this here podcast, because I'm not going to reach out to you. I'm not saying nothing else to you. We're going to go back to the way things were before I started to experience you. And it's probably going to be worse than that because I've experienced you and you've shown me something that's real fake and real phony. And you want to know what the gag of all that is? You saying that it's a blank problem when Penn don't even fuck with that person. Don't be around that person and hasn't dealt with that person in a while. Penn Simmons records his own music in his own home on his own behest. So while you're thinking that Penn is affiliated with the people that you don't like, you burnt the bridge because you got old information. And you didn't just burn my bridge, you burnt his too because I sent him the screenshot. He's seen it. Because you've been on social media, you've been kakakiing, and you've been acting like you've been cool with a nigga that you don't really fuck with, obviously. Because if you fuck with him or if you fuck with me and you're free and you're available and you're purposely not trying to help the either one of us manifest something that's important to both of our career, then you're not really down for us for real. And that's phony. And all the support and all of the shit that we threw behind you was real, but the support that you're throwing behind us is not real. I don't know. You're trying to get features, you're trying to get beats or what it is that you're trying to do, but that shit is phony and you done burnt two bridges with that. And I guess the only people that's going to know who I'm talking about is my bestie, because I told her. Penn Simmons, because he's aware, and you. But because I've come to the fact that you're not really my friend, I don't even really too much know that you gonna listen to this episode or hear this episode, but I'm gonna know it's on record, and I said what I said, and I'm not gonna hide behind it. If you do listen to it and you ask me about it, I do invite the conversation, because I would love to know how you call somebody your friend and you have the opportunity and the availability to help them and look out for them, and then you choose not to. Just because you believe that this person deals with a person that you don't like who happens to be your flesh and blood. Make that shit make sense. That's that crab in the barrel hater shit, holding niggas back shit that got Connecticut fucked up. It's actually the same shit that you got an issue with your own family member. But I done gave you enough of that. I done gave you enough smoke. Let's move on to the next nigga. Now, there used to be a nigga that used to be an admin in my group. And not for nothing, the only reason that I made him an admin is because I noticed in the algorithms and in the analytics that when he would post, it would show up on certain people's timeline and it would drive engagement into my group. I didn't make him an admin because I owed him anything or he was actually beneficial to my group. Negative. Every person that he added could leave today and it won't change the engagement or the activity in my group. That's one. Second, me and this person been friends on Facebook for several years. I have a certain level of respect for this person, even though this person says a lot of ignorant and disrespectful things, but out of the respect that I have for them, I just tend to ignore that. There's been people in my past that have told me all kind of shit about this person, but I ignore that because the person that I am is I don't allow other people's experiences to dictate to me who I can and should be around. If you never did nothing to me, then you never did nothing to me. But I've learned this past week so many people true colors, like this nigga. This nigga told me to start pandering to gay people. This nigga told me to start getting more interviews and doing more shit with the gay community as it pertains to this here podcast, because this nigga is ignorant as fuck. Like he is in so many different situations. He talk out of his ass. He's never seen out a single analytic. He doesn't understand that the average fan base and the average listener of my podcast are men between the ages of 25 and 35, and they have zero interest in what's going on in the gay community. I tried to explain this to the man. I tried to explain to him, I have zero interest of what's going on in the gay community, and I am a female, I am black, and I am gay last. Being gay will never be what I base my platform on, because there's a lot of shit in the gay community that I don't agree with, and I am not like a lot of other motherfuckers that pander to the gay community, because I understand how the gay community show out. They buy your merch and they prop you up. But this show is not about the gay community and what is going on in the gay community. Now, if it is organic and it works, like me and Scooty's interview, who was a bisexual man, or anybody that I am friends with that I deal with that is gay, if it works and it's organic, cool. I am down for making your beats, working with you in the studio, interviewing you if I support what you're doing and it's a real thing. But as far as sitting down and thinking about how I'm going to drive a gay audience, that is never going to be me. And this is what this nigga was asking of me. And when I told him that I will never pander to the gay crowd, I'm not with that. That nigga got upset and that nigga has not said shit to me since then. However, he wants to shoot his little subs and say his little dumb shit on Facebook about Lil Kim and all the dumb shit. And he's been trying to get my attention, but I am not going to feed into it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not. I had a certain level of respect for you, but it's dwindling with every passing day, because everything you've done for the past several years showed me you fake and you phony. I just keep up the front with you. I've offered to get up with you, meet with you, link with you, hang out with you so we can get to know each other better on a more personal level. So you don't have to keep on reading things on social media and thinking you knowing me. And I don't have to keep on taking your ignorant ass comments and the shit that you say at face value. I really wanted to get to know you and build on you. You'll come to my city and you won't say shit. And then when I ask you about it, you'll make excuses. Nigga, fuck you. You was never my friend. You're the exact issue that I have with the gay community. You a faggot ass nigga that like to be on the internet with all this sub shit, talking all this yin yang, going back and forth, but the reality of your life is not something that you want to talk about. You the same nigga that I have on record saying that you do not carry yourself a certain kind of way because you don't want to be perceived a certain kind of way, but you want to tell me what to do with my podcast as it pertains to a gay audience. Nigga, fuck you. And then in the middle of having a conversation, a nigga leaves the group chat. Cool. No worries. Maybe it was an accident. I asked the nigga, did I do something to you? Did I make you feel some type of way? What's your problem? The nigga has not dignified me with a response, but he want to throw little subs at me over Little Kim and Foxy Brown. That's why this pod got a whole bunch of Foxy in it. Because this nigga just reminded me. Foxy is the best. And you got Little Kim fake ass dick so far down your throat. You don't know what the fuck you talking about. You were standing, you delusional, respectfully. This is why I don't like having conversations about hip hop with certain niggas, because most of them are like this nigga. They go to concerts. They gay as fuck. They like to slam, slam, slam and go all the houses and the balls and shit. But then they like to interact with the hip hop community and the culture like they about it. Nigga, you're not. You can have several seats and shut several the fucks up. And I'm saying what I gotta say because I mean what I gotta say in my address. You know what it is. You could pull up if you want to, or you could actually respond to the inbox and address it. But you've been phony for several years, and I've just been cool rolling with you because you ain't never personally did anything to me. But the past couple of days, you've been showing you a phony ass nigga and exactly what's wrong with the gay community. You want to carry yourself one way, but you a faggot ass nigga, and you all with the shade and the petty shit. Nigga, miss me with it. Go ahead, go that way. There's so many niggas on this Facebook shit, on this social media shit, they get on here and they start acting like, nigga. Let's tell the truth about our lifestyle, ladies and gentlemen. See, I'm very transparent. That's why there ain't really much people could say about me. I'm super transparent. There ain't nothing you could say about me that I haven't said about myself. But y'all be hiding a lot of truths and y'all want to say them only in the group chat. Or you only want to say them around certain people because you afraid of how it's going to make you look. Nah, nigga, walk in that. And for the record, anybody that's thinking that they could tell somebody how to do their shit or what to do with their shit and they not doing shit, literally they do nothing all day. They do absolutely nothing. Nothing that has any value, nothing that's going to grow generational wealth, nothing that's going to build them up or build anyone up around them. They don't do shit all day, but they want to tell you what to do. Respectfully tell them the whole nuts because they don't know what the fuck they talking about. Just like I'm not speaking to my bestie right now, and I'm probably not going to speak to her for a couple of weeks because she made me mad. I'm calling her. I'm trying to explain to her what's going on. And she want to motherfucking tell me what I need. And nah, bitch, you not listening. I've been doing this shit here for 2 years. I've never had to do certain shit and I'm not going to start. If it don't make no sense, I'm not doing shit. I am not chasing a rapper, a singer, nobody. Because I have told myself DJ Exclusive is the Nothing Podcast. The only way it dies is if I do. I don't care if I get 100 streams a week, 1,000 streams a week. As long as one person listening to me and they rocking with me and they feeling me, then I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. See, everybody's so used to everybody going viral and you pulling 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 followers out your ass. Nah, I don't work like that. I'm on that slow grind. I got 60 new subscribers on YouTube last month. I'm grateful. Facebook deleted my other Nothing Podcast page for streaming 5 minutes of the Floyd Mayweather fight. Cool. That's fine. I've built 4 pages. I'm going to rebuild my DJ Exclusive page. That page got over 160 something likes in a week. So I might not be super popping and got all of these likes and follows and shares, but I do got fans. I do got supporters. When I decided I was going to quit my job, that confirmation came because I woke up when I was supposed to be getting ready for work and I had already made my paycheck for the week. I thank everybody that bought a Killing Them t-shirt off nothingmerch.com or a hat or anything that you purchased off nothingmerch.com. I appreciate that shit. Because you understand my goals. That's why these other two fuck niggas that I just described, they don't mean shit to me. They slaves. One of them gets up and goes to work. They want to do this quote unquote music shit, but they don't got the wherewithal, the go hard, or the hustle to say that I'm going to dedicate my time, my life, and I'm going to get it out the mud because this is what I'm going to do. But I do that. I make sure my mom's is good. I make sure I'm good. I make sure all my responsibilities is good. My dog is good. And I don't depend on nobody but myself. And it is hard when everybody be hating on you. When you can't even really get the support from where you came from. So I had to latch on to people that I never even met before. People that I met on social media because they fuck with me for real. And this small following over the course of 2 years is growing. It's developing. It's organic. It's engagement. And it is enough to withstand my lifestyle. A lot of y'all can't say that about the shit that you do. So I understand the hate. I get it. But that's why it'll never be me. I'm never going to knock nobody's hustle or what nobody's doing or be low-key jealous and resentful because I know my time is coming. While I'm sitting here hating on the next man, I don't know how long they worked, how long they spent on their knees praying for what they got. That's why I don't exercise in the spirit of jealousy. I don't exercise in the spirit of hate. Because you don't know what niggas went through to get what the fuck they got. And that's why I just keep on grinding, because that's the important part. And now that I got my shit off, I guess it's the time for me to tell you, I'm not going to really get into much hip hop shit. Of course, I'm going to do my rapid fire nothingness. I wanted to take most of this time, most of this show, to talk about this Ronnie O'Neal case, because I think that it's very crazy. And like I said before, I wanted to take the pod a little bit more from the hip hop debates and what's going on in the hip hop culture and bring it closer to what's going on with me and what matters with me. That's why I had to go on a rant for about a half hour because of what's mattered to me, because I've been saying it on social media. I'm not going to keep on being humble. And today I'm being a little humble because I'm not saying y'all motherfucking names, but y'all know who the fuck y'all are. So I don't have to say your names. And you know I'm not telling any lies or stretching anything or making anything sound like, oh, nothing. I'm giving it up the way that it fucking was. And that's how I'm going to do it here on in. I was just on Phil Blunt page. And he was talking about motherfuckers trying to be his friend for free studio time. And I had commented, oh, niggas want to be my friend for free beats. You know how many friend requests I got off of that? You know how many niggas ask me for beats? You know what's so funny? Why when y'all rappers ask for beats, y'all lead with y'all email address? Nah, nigga, lead with that Cash App. Y'all be like, oh, let me hear what you got. No, nigga, let me see what you got. Spend some bread. Ain't nobody getting no more free beats from me. If you got a free beat from me, you better enjoy it because it's the last one you got. I don't care if me and you have an agreement to work together. You're going to have to pay for some of them beats, nigga. The price is $250. Now, off of that, the Ronnie O'Neal shit, it might not mean nothing to y'all, but I'm trying not to pass no judgment because I wasn't there. I don't know if this man did this, if he did not do this, or what the case may be. But based on the evidence, the testimony, it's seeming like he did it. And it looks like this man may get the death penalty because he's playing around with the judicial system and he want to, what they say, defend himself in a very serious case. So we gonna roll the clip, we gonna pay some bills, we gonna listen to a little music, and we gonna come back and we gonna start the debate about Mr. Ronnie O'Neal. Shout out to Miss Karan. I can't say it enough. I appreciate you. I appreciate your sponsor. Shout out to my cousin Tasha. I appreciate your sponsor. I appreciate everybody that's trying to help me manifest. And I appreciate everyone that purchased t-shirts, hoodies, or something from nothingmerch.com. Y'all are what financed this. Y'all is what keep me going.
You are now rocking with DJ F. Exclusive, Connecticut's finest female DJ.
But you still a hater.
Where my horn, child?
Yeah, you already know what it is.
That's right.
I came to talk to the people, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm alive, I'ma put it on. Could've gone legit, shit. Thug, make it till I'm gone. Way the Bronx, I'm flipping. Five boroughs thoroughly repping. Let's unite the city and step to the world as a weapon. Cause everybody's checking for puns, second to none. Cause Latin's going platinum was destined to come. The inevitable, heavily better than whatever you do. We eligible to yes, it's incredibly credible.
God damn it!
We getting you open with lyrical dope. And these breaths that I'm potent like an injectional dose. And it never quits. Taking from to yes, a top terrorist. Rapper slash hijacker, bombing tracks ever since. I was young, I wasn't always big fun. It wasn't always as fun. Hey yo, I rose from the slums. I had a dream of doom. Lay a few, but I ain't saying who. Staying true to the game, no names playing it cool. Just me and the crew, holding it down. Long as we round, we gonna keep socking it to you like Homie the Clown. Going down like Pac, ready to ride or die, nigga.
La 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 la. That man pun, man.
Nokio, give us the beat, baby.
Rest in power, man. All y'all motherfuckers can't really fuck with me. That's why y'all be coming out y'all face all backwards and all misconstrued.
You see, I sip dog. I rock doors and can't stand pit bombs. Bases loaded, coach want me to butt. But I'ma go for the home of cop one. I was the kid in the hood.
Your moms ain't want you with.
Now I'm rich.
And now your moms want you click.
Since a young one, I love heaven and love hell. Escobar style, I build my own jail. Yeah, America's favorite dog.
And sell.
America's favorite drugs. Me and Pone like the military. We train niggas, and the hoes don't fuck.
They just brain niggas.
Focus on us, we coconuts. We throw our gang signs up, see them love with us. Set up the congregation so I can orally speak. I orally have sex, cause my oral is deep.
You know the vibes.
Not us.
CNN out for them pesos.
That money, y'all.
Y'all don't wanna bust with us.
Not us.
Niggas better move when we say so.
Man, what's this side here?
CNN ain't real.
What's this side here?
CNN is what?
What's this side here?
CNN won't care.
What's this side here?
Man, listen. I'm hearing a lot. I hear all of y'all talking. And this is how I'm responding to y'all niggas. Nigga,
I'm in my motherfucking bag.
At the age of 14, introduced the coupe, learning how to seduce niggas taking their loot quickly. Got involved with this money lifestyle. The finer things, go kind of thing.
Listen.
See what I see.
Little Kim, who?
At the age of 14, introduced the coupe, learning how to seduce niggas taking their loot quickly. Got involved with this money lifestyle. The finer things, go kind of thing. Power money. And diamond rings. The ninth grade morning. The Gucci boots with the G's on it. A high price for this high price life. All on my tour is my man cheating just to fight. Only you, I hold my mate tonight. But she but no other hand could hold me right. My girls ain't the same. Guess it's cause the fame, bitches. Smile on my face.
Throw dirt on my name.
Mad cause I made it. Now friends intimidated, hate it. That I'm in the same game as them. With more fame than them. They know who they are. This life is no joke.
Listen.
You with my sister. We used to dream together how we could make it real big, do our thing together.
Facts.
Thelma and Louise together. Remember them days, the niggas we played. Now we don't need to speak when I separate ways, separate lives, lost friendship for pride. Ha. Playing the game about the forfeit.
Listen.
High price like I can't afford
it. Talk about my life.
Do you feel what I feel?
My life. The black girl's ordeal, my life.
Man. Do you see what I see? Have you been where I've been?
Can you go that road, my life? Listen.
Do y'all know what it feels like? Do y'all know what it be like? Do you see what I see? Have you been where I've been?
Y'all can't go that road.
In this wildest dream, did he think that little ing would be the illest in this rap thing? Woo. Age four, in my mother's shoes, swore I could sing. And even as a little girl, I was doing my thing.
Yeah.
Confused, I ain't asked to be born, nigga, so dumb.
Should've used a condom.
Asked mommy every day when daddy gon' come, but he never showed up. I repent for them. But came to men to then, men present to them. Just the scent of them.
Made me Earl.
Especially the bowling ones trying to buy me the pearls. All I needed was love.
All I wanted was love.
Lack of love had me falling for thugs. The niggas who ain't care, just like daddy.
Man,
care,
that's all I wanted was price love. Price, but y'all niggas phony, fuck out of here.
The evidence is going to show.
This is the first impression jurors received of Ronnie O'Neill, the Riverview man charged in a gruesome rampage that killed his girlfriend, his young daughter, and nearly killed his 8-year-old son. O'Neill, representing himself, shouted at the jury during his opening statement.
And the evidence is going to show. That law enforcement tampered with evidence.
But the state says evidence is indisputable that the only person responsible for the violent attack on his family is Ronnie O'Neill. And it starts with a 911 call from Kenyatta Barron, O'Neill's girlfriend.
She made that call with fear in her voice.
Kenyatta can be heard pleading for her life. Prosecutors say by then she'd already been shot. And while the recording continued, they say O'Neill can be heard beating her with a shotgun.
The evidence will show that that was just the beginning. That's just the beginning of what happened this evening.
Investigators say after killing Kenyatta, O'Neill brutally murdered his 9-year-old daughter, Ranivia, and tried to stab to death his 8-year-old son, also named Ronnie, before setting him and the house on fire.
And it's just the beginning of what became an odyssey for this little boy, an odyssey of violence, an odyssey of brutality.
The little boy, however, survived the attack, barely.
But the words that came out of this little boy's mouth were not a cry for help. They were not a help me or a painful cry. They will tell you the first words that came out of this little brave boy's mouth. My daddy killed my mommy. The evidence is going to show. My son did not see me murder his mom. The evidence is going to show. He did not see me shoot his mom.
And Ronnie O'Neill has indicated that he plans to argue that he acted in self-defense. Meanwhile, his son, Ronnie the Fourth, is expected to testify in this case. Right now, he's 11 years old at this point. This happened 3 years ago. And he is going to testify in the coming days. Chris?
11 years old and saw things as an 8-year-old that no one should ever see, and will now be on the other side of possibly putting his father away for life or more. A lot to come on this trial here as it just gets underway. Aaron Mesmer live for us in Hillsborough County. Thank you, Aaron.
You see, it might not mean that in the yard, but the prosecutors in Florida are saying that this man shot his girlfriend and then beat her with a shotgun while their handicapped daughter watched. He then went into the house with the handicapped daughter and hit her over the head with a hatchet and in her back with the hatchet, killing her. And then he tried to kill the 11-year-old son. At this time, the little boy was about 7 or 8 years old. Now, listen. This is the type of shit that you only hear about in movies. There are people that are sitting on the stand, they testifying, somebody even seen it. He testified in detail to what he's seen. I'm going to play that clip for you. The little boy, God bless his heart, he's testifying against his father. There's a few clips that I want to play for y'all to give y'all the kind of understanding of what's going on this trial. And it's funny because they're not talking about this case. It seems the only time African-American murders and trials are being magnified is when it is some kind of orchestrated bullshit or some kind of cop is killing us or something like this. Now, I believe that this type of shit need that much attention as well. Now, if you Google it, if you look into it, you can find all of the information that you need. But that mainstream media, besides the funny post that's going around of him giving his opening arguments, no one is really talking about this heinous crime. Now, whether he did it or didn't do it, this actually happened and it transpired. But let's just keep it a bean. The little boy was 8 years old and he's saying that his father did it. There are witnesses that seen him and they saying that he did it. For all intents and purposes, I have to say allegedly, because at the time of recording, he's given his closing arguments and he has not been, you know, given guilty or not. But I will say, I am sick of every time something goes on in our community, the only way that I have to hear about it is if it's like a Trayvon Martin or a Mike Brown or a George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, something where all the casket chasers like Al Sharpton, motherfuckers like that pull up for. I think that's a problem because these types of crimes happen in our communities as well. And if you listen to this podcast, you hear me beat mental health in the head. Last episode with Scooty, I'm telling him, you're parenting your son and you're having issues with co-parenting because you and your baby mother both need therapy. Y'all both have to break those generational curses that got y'all behaving the way that y'all behaving and then using your son as a pawn, as an excuse for the choices that you're making, right? Episodes with Doughboy, telling him he need therapy. I'm a firm believer on therapy. And when people don't get therapy and they self-medicating and they out here on all of these designer drugs and they dealing with their issues the way that they feel like they have to deal with their issues, this is when crimes like this fucking happen. Not just in the Black community, in the white community as well. We watch these Netflix movies and then we be on Facebook cock-cocking how we was entertained with the movie. But very few of us dig into the reality that some of these movies we watching really happen. Like the girl in the basement with her father raping her and getting her pregnant over and over again was a real fucking thing. The movie about the psycho couple kidnapping the girl and making her live in a box underneath the bed. This shit is really happening. So even if you wanted to play devil's advocate and say, hey, I don't know if this man beat his woman to death with a shotgun to the point where the shotgun is broken and damaged after he shot her, and then went to their handicapped special needs daughter and beat her over the head with an axe until she died, and then tried to stab up the son. And then I forgot one other detail. The man then set the house on fire. So you do all of this crazy shit, then you set the house on fire, and then you stand in court and you defend yourself and you say that you did not do that. If that is not a sign of mental health and a sign of several years and generational shit of untreated mental health issues, then I don't know what to tell y'all. Y'all think mental health and talking about your therapy and your spirituality and your mental peace is all trendy and shit until motherfuckers is killing your family members. In one of these clips, you're going to hear a grown ass man say that him and his coworkers hugged each other and cried after they did their job at that crime scene. Could you imagine what that may have looked like? Could you imagine what kind of drugs he may have been on? What kind of frame of mind do you gotta be in where you get so angry, where you decide the way that you have to deal with that anger is to heinously murder your whole entire family? And if you Google the pictures of this dude, he don't even look the same way he looked 3 years ago when he got locked up. He has wicks now. And if you're not in the lock community and you don't know what wicks are like those thick, how do I explain it? If you remember the way The Weeknd used to look before he cut his hair, or a lot of the people down in Florida, or kind of the way Kodak Black wears his hair, it's a certain kind of way that people in Florida wear their locks. It's like, what is the motherfucking freeform? They freeform and they grow and they become like kind of thick and they look like palm trees. They call them wicks. And depending on who the person is and what their style is, sometimes some people's wicks are cleaner and nicer than others. But for the most part, it's basically freeformed hair that sticks up on top of people's head. When he first got arrested, he had a clean cut, more clean looking. It's very sad what's going on with this case. And that's why I wanted to make sure I bring awareness and talked about it on this podcast, because a lot of us are meeting people online. We doing a whole bunch of shit that could result in this type of shit happening to us. And we really just need to do better as a people.
Fate of murder defendant Ronnie O'Neill will soon be in the hands of a jury. The prosecution and the defense rested their cases today. O'Neill is accused of killing his girlfriend, his 9-year-old daughter, and attempting to kill his 8-year-old son 3 years ago. As Fox 13's Gloria Gomez explains, O'Neill, who is defending himself, called witnesses that may have hurt, not helped, his case.
The prosecution's last witness was lead detective Tom Dirks. Dirks remembers showing up at the crime scene and seeing Ronnie O'Neill with bloodstains on his clothes and smelling like gasoline. During Dirks' testimony, they played a 911 call that O'Neill made the night of the murders.
I just been attacked.
He said,
"Did
he try to attack you?"
"She did. She tried to kill me."
O'Neill is charged with the murders of his girlfriend and mother of his children, Kenyatta Barron, and his 9-year-old daughter, and attempting to kill his 8-year-old son. O'Neill, who is defending himself, pressed Dirks on his rush to judgment in the case, but it backfired.
"Can you draw any conclusions that I committed any murder in this case?"
"Yes, that's why I arrested you."
"State arrest, Your Honor."
"Okay, very good." Now it was O'Neill's turn to put on a case. He called a neighbor who witnessed Barron running for her life.
"His wife started trying to run away, and he went and he grabbed her, and she was on the sidewalk, and he stood over her, did this like striking thing like 3 times, and he shot her."
And the mother of O'Neill's third child says she was arguing with Barron on the phone just hours before the murders.
"We never got along, like at all."
O'Neill rested his case without taking the stand in his own defense, hoping to avoid what happened during opening statements, the judge warning him to keep religion and God out of the trial.
"This jury's not going to make any factual determination as far as what side God is on.
the fate of O'Neill's life will soon be in the hands of a jury.
That little boy testifying at his father's murder trial. He's the son of Ronnie O'Neill, his father on trial for the murder of the boy's mother and sister, and also for trying to kill Ronnie, allegedly. Now, because he's representing himself, this creates the unusual scenario of the father cross-examining, questioning his own son. The man is accused of trying to kill him, and now he is basically questioning his son's testimony. Fox 13's Aaron Mesmer is live at the courthouse in Hillsborough County. Aaron, even separated by video screen because the boy is in a remote location, this had to take incredible courage by this now 11-year-old boy.
Yeah, Chris, he was incredibly brave. He showed unbelievable composure in that remote location as he gave his testimony this morning, followed and was had to describe all of these horrific events that occurred that evening. What you're about to hear is part of little Ronnie's testimony. He's 11 years old now, followed by some of the cross-examination that he experienced with his father, who, as you said, is representing himself. This was the first time that they have seen each other and spoken to each other since that the attack on March 2018.
State, you ready to proceed?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I just saw my dad holding a shotgun and my mom, like, and mom screaming at him.
And your father had a shotgun. What happened next? What did he do?
My mom ran to my sister's room. My mom ran to my sister's room into the closet. And then my dad said, come in here and come kill this the B-word.
Did you hear any shots from the shotgun before that?
Yes.
How many times?
One.
Was there a time when your mother was able to get out of the closet?
She was, like, stumbling outside, and then I just saw my dad chase her.
What do you remember happening next?
My dad told me to walk around and say, like, some words.
And do you remember what words your father told you to say?
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar?
Yes.
Did he do something to your sister?
Yes, he hit her with an axe. And then he went in the garage, I followed him. He put me on the ground, and then he, like, had his foot on top. I was laying in my stomach, he had his foot on top of me, and he was holding me down, and he was, like, lighting a match.
Mr. O'Neill, any questions?
How you doing, Ryan?
Good.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too.
Did you see me shoot your mom?
No.
Did I hurt you that night of this incident?
Yes.
I did. And how did I hurt you?
You stabbed me.
And investigators have said that Ronnie O'Neill tried to set his son and their house on fire before this night of violence ended, according to investigators. Again, that was the first time that father and son have seen each other since that violent night back in March 2018. The boy's father, what you kind of heard there was him trying to call into question his son's recollection of the events of that night. And he says that there's some kind of inconsistencies in between what the boy says now and what he had said to detectives and attorneys in the years that followed that night. But there's one thing, though, that the prosecutors have really tried to hammer home here, what they tried to make sure the jury understood is that, in their opinion, there's only one person who could have carried out the crimes that were committed that night, and that person is the defendant, Ronnie O'Neill III. Live in Tampa, Aaron Mesmer, Fox 13 News.
Now, the whole shit that's crazy to me about that is, first and foremost, kids are just going to always love their parents. No matter what kind of shit you put your kids through, no matter what they see, there's going to always be a place in their heart for their parent. Now, as you grow and you mature and you learn how to put yourself before your family and other people, you will always be willing to love, accept, and embrace your parents, even if they do traumatic shit like that to you. That little boy said hi to his father.
He told him that it was nice to see him too. And he sat there so calm. And when he asked him, did I ever hurt you? He said, yeah, you stabbed me. I don't know adults that could have composed themselves that well, maintained themselves that well, and sat up there and just answered the questions and didn't get emotional. As far as I know, the little boy didn't even cry. That's a traumatic experience he ain't never gonna forget. He watched his biological father murder his mother, murder his sister, then try to murder him, and then set his home on fire. That is a crazy experience that I don't think an adult can handle, let alone an 8-year-old whom is now 11 and is being asked to sit on the stand and testify against his father. There is a lot that this little boy is going to have to carry, that he's going to have to remember, that he's going to have to maintain for the rest of his life. And for what? What was the reason? I can't think of anything that could make me this angry. And I get pretty angry pretty quickly at real basic shit. That is something that I'm working on, because that doesn't hurt anyone but me. An inability to control myself doesn't hurt anyone but me. Shout out to my sponsor. Shout out to Karan. I'm sorry, I pronounced your name incorrectly. Make sure y'all go try her body butters. Make sure you hit up her website. I'm going to have the links in the description. The reason why I say that, and that was a good time for me to bring up my sponsors. I know a guy. I'm going to remain nameless because I fuck with him and I don't want him to feel no type of way. But while I was on social media this week, I come across a page that don't post nothing but his brand and tag him in everything that they post. I mean, they post every now and again little things about music and shit that they feel, I guess, on their own behest. But 99.9% of the things that they post on this page represent someone that I know, their brand, something that they built out of the dirt, right? This person posted something that is not a fact, not researchable data, 100% their opinion, something that they feel about a hip hop group. A debate ensued. I left my opinion ever so respectfully, and my opinion was on the other side of his opinion and also on the other side of someone that was commenting. But I have learned from being in Facebook jail and the restrictions and the things that go on Facebook that you have to be careful how you comment and the things that you say. Because even if it's something that you and I would say in joking, you could literally end up doing 30 to 45 days in Facebook jail. And I've been to Facebook jail so much that my actual page is at risk at permanent deletion. Just like they just deleted my podcast page, no warning. I have been warned that my regular page is up for permanent deletion. So I have really been doing my due diligence not to go back and forth and engage in heated debates, especially with strangers that I am not 100% certain how they will respond and how they will act. How does this link to sponsors? Clearly, my homie has this person in position as like a brand ambassador, someone that he has. I don't know if he pays them, if they just do it out of the goodness of their heart. Whatever the situation is, his whole page looks like he's a representation of his brand. Meanwhile, he's being disrespectful, getting out of pocket, saying foul things to people that actually support this person. You understand? He's not aware that this person has paid me for promotion and ad space. He doesn't know that me and this person communicate and we have a lot of things that we are planning in the background while he's over here being 100% disrespectful to me for no reason, just of a difference of opinion as it pertains to a specific hip hop group. Now, if I was a petty motherfucker, if I was the type of motherfucker that'd be like, you know what? You got motherfuckers representing your brand that don't really fuck with me and they talk to me in the yo kind of way. So yeah, fuck you. Everything that we got going on, everything that we talked about. And if I allowed this person to make me believe that he was the actual representation of my homie's brand, that could cause me issues as well as him, because there are people that don't know him personally. They don't know what he's about and what he's building and what his brand is about. All they may have experienced is this person, and this person may have been a jerk, may have been a jerk off, and they don't want to fuck with his brand based on the fact that they only see this person promoting it. And this is something that I've learned about my own brand. This is why I have chosen to watch how I speak to certain people, especially if I'm out here representing other people's brands, other people's, you know, companies and things. So when I'm sitting here and I'm listening to how, you know, this little boy, he's mad calm, cool and collective. He's handling himself a lot better than a lot of adults handle themselves on social media when it pertains to basic conversations about people that don't really have anything to do with them or I. When I'm listening to how the neighbor is explaining what he watched, it just reminds me of all of the different debates that I got into going back and forth with people that champion this kind of shit. They would be the ones that say that this neighbor that got on the stand is a rat. They would be the type of people to get up here and say, hey, they should mind their business. Our community is so flawed. We need to do better. The way that we talk to each other, the way that we embrace people, the way that we judge people is the exact reason why something like this is happening. Why there is a little boy who can actually write this in his autobiography. This is a part of his real life. Shout out to my sponsors. Shout out to Next Level Happiness. Shout out to Release. Shout out to everybody. Let us use this story as an example of why we need to come together, why we need to cross network more, why we need to cross market more and stick with each other, because you don't know what motherfuckers be going through. This is why I'm learning how to separate shit. Like what I was just talking about, my experience with this motherfucker, he don't know me. I don't know him. And he doesn't know my relationship with the person whose brand he's representing. So I am taking the high road and choosing to maintain my relationship with my homie. And I may tell him the next time I speak to him, hey, you got this person representing your brand who is talking to people who are actually cool with you, who actually fuck with you in a disrespectful manner. So Lord knows who else he talks to this way, who else he deals with this way, which is now making them not want to fuck with you. We got to do better. We got to think about shit. And look what's going on with the little boy now that his mother is dead and his father is facing the death penalty.
Everybody know this, hey, your boy Kwame. Hey, I'm holding it down for DJ Exclusives. Just spinning, man.
Yo. Man. Mm. Yeah. Mm. It's always a faggot ass nigga.
Boogie Brown.
They want to talk about bitches all the time.
Expect me to love you. Nigga can't even trust.
Nigga, you don't know Little Kim.
So he played you, right? Shot a little game and he blazed you, right? Talking about he was gonna make you right. To make you.
get up off it till he move you, girl. Let no blame nigga rule your world. Now screw you, girl, I got him hating me. Ah, throws the pussy down, keep him chasing me.
Basically,
niggas game a lot, so bet I game back and make the nigga think that I came a lot. And I changed the plot. When we was that Jacob, that chain was hot. Is he on or what? Huh. Nigga cop the broach in the double R, and you got the note.
So I know you not broke. I ain't fucking with you.
Before I let a nigga just stab the box, I got to have some rocks. Even then, all I do is get they asses hot. Then I ask them, last time, asses rocks. Huh. Right in his place, slow him right down, shake it right in his face. You like the way? By the way, baby boy, would you like a taste?
Let me tell you what I need on them license plates.
Property, mahogany brown, in a knock me on the balcony while you knock me down. Y'all wanna break me off without caking me off? Then expect the bitch to be faithful to yours? The
negative. Next,
copy me back, straight from Dior. Parada shoes, that's the bomb, straight out of Milan. And I'm about that money, no need to pretend. Want you, holler at me when you ready to spend.
Cause I ain't fucking with you, nigga. So you can stop subbing me, and you can stop trying to press me with your dumbass little Kim shit. Cause I'm good, nigga. Ta-da. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm in my bag.
Let's take it from the top. I Fox gets my swerve on. Looking all right, yeah, what up, Bob? Close the room, throwing signals, I'm throwing them back. Flirting, cause I
dig you like that.
Pete, baby boy style, hoping we match. You sent me Crown Royale
with a note attached.
You said you look like the type that know what you like. I could tell by the jewels, you go for the ice. Plus, you wear shoes well, the suit flows nice. I don't like the notes too well, let's be more precise. What? Meet me by the VIP, let's powwow. Whisper in my ear like boo, let's bounce now. About to say peace to my mans for you. When it's all said and done, I got plans for you. He said,
ooh, baby, what you mean, nigga? This is what a hit sounds like. Niggas talking about a Foxy Little Kim versus. Cut it out, nigga.
Get inside of here, jackpot when he said it's bullshit in here. And a smile blind like the shine on his necklace. Mind telling me no, body telling me exit. Breast said yes, give me more wet kisses.
Twist your body like an exorcist.
He was macking, true thug passion. I'm like, slow down before you crashing. Never mind him, he ain't thinking about you or the way we sex. Wanna fill up the
whoa, what the fuck is this? Yeah.
They say I'm 7:30, say I spaz out. FB is ill,
I'm a wild out.
Can y'all feel my pain? I can't let it slide. How could I smell when I'm hurting so bad as you?
How can we start this? My life is thorough, never heartless. I laid it down from the Cape to the St. Louis Arches,
to the Windy City,
to the streets in Cali, to the streets in Houston.
Why niggas always boosting?
Some bitches always holler
how they don't spend a dollar, but that's cause they ain't got it. Now tell me what's the logic?
And if I talk it, I done did it, or I'm about to do it. I'm making anthems, got a million niggas bouncing to it. Bust your guns,
and if they ain't enough, then bust again.
I've been thugging since B.I.Z. made just a friend. Matter of fact, ever since Flavor Flavor's rocking clock. And even then, it was no bitch that can compare to Fox. Let me hear it knock.
Pretty, you with me, right?
This Prada fit me tight. This Gucci fit me right. Who could quickly write like seven joints and it be tight? You know how good we stand. You know it's cool.
Say I'm 7:30. Say I spaz out. FB is ill. She a wild out. But can y'all feel my pain? I can't let it slide. How could I smell when I'm hurting so bad inside?
No, no,
say I'm 7:30. Say I spaz out. FB is ill. She a wild out. But can y'all feel my pain? I can't let it slide. How could I smell when I'm hurting so bad?
My life is full of problems. Sometimes it's hard to dodge them. So much you couldn't fathom. I wish I didn't have them.
They say I'm 7:30 pretty, but I rap too dirty. Dolores criticizing me and probably never heard me. So what, I crashed my range. My last name ain't changed. This time is different, no, I'm not exploiting names. Yeah, I write my shit.
It's not a fucking game. So what, he wrote some songs.
I blew him up the same. I'm never ducking days. Y'all know just where to find me. I would've killed them, but it just wouldn't be fair to mommy. Imagine me doing time, Foxy behind bars. Not me the crime star. Y'all bitches ain't worth it. Although my life ain't perfect, I'll never change a thing. Y'all want success, but y'all don't know about the pain it brings. It's supposed to make you happy
and keep your paper long.
This beat is kinda ill.
How could you hate this song?
They say I'm 7:30.
Man,
who the fuck told bitches they could do what I do?
Who told y'all?
All of a sudden, all y'all bitches got accents too.
Huh?
My gal, bitches can't do the shit that I do.
Something about it is cool.
All of a sudden, all y'all bitches got accents too. My gal, bitches can't do the shit that I do.
Something I gotta think it's cool.
I tell a motherfucker this. Some niggas nowadays move worse than a bitch.
Whoa.
And as for this chick, me love bum flick, pine bite my dick. So, got the pussy, got the live phone.
I'm a grown ass bitch with my own ass shit.
Now, hear this, and I want chat where I got boss in a secret.
Whoa.
Your big bottom man, you love look man bottom. Pussy watch man, you a true scared bottom. Fuck who? Niggas wish they could fuck me.
I ain't never seen a hot girl act like we.
Big bomba clad star.
Push out car.
Big old, me love back where I'll be.
What?
The way my man fuck.
Can't even stand up.
And when he gets stiff, it come like
ten dicks.
Take it through my hole, right through my appendix. I got a message. Watch out, motherfuckers.
I'm a poor soul, this man was shot down. If I pass soul for dead man, we back down. If I gunshot from us, man, we clap down. And if I rip them for run, man, we clap down. From a poor soul, this man was shot down.
What?
If I pass soul for dead man, we back down.
Yeah.
Picture me fucking with a nigga half my status. Bad gal, boss big gun it once in my pocket. Move your bum, boy, boy, go on my jacket. How do y'all motherfuckers even spit my name? Cool number four, have you
X'd out the game?
And tell them all your damn pussy like sugar cane and book y'all take beer or bop
it. What it with it?
Bet you wish you lucked up and got a quick nut. What the fuck you about 20
or pissy ass drunk?
Lucky I don't fuck around and get you stuck up. Waiting outside your studio, collecting dark bucks. Bitch, fuck around and get that nigga gun buck.
Yeah.
Outside I'm fully loaded with the gun stashed up. From the cactus, chrome full fit for the bag of full clip.
When niggas with little slip.
From a pussyhole, this man was shot down.
I just had to give all that smoke for all these little Kim ass niggas. Stay the fuck out my mentions. Who gives a fuck about Jigsaw? She's not fucking with not a single rat bitch. If you don't champion real hip hop, real bars, stop tagging me. Stop jumping on my page, leaving comments with your dumbass post about Lil' Kim. Who gives a fuck except for a faggot ass nigga? Only niggas that suck dick for a living champion bitches like Nicki Minaj and Lil' Kim. I said what the fuck I said.
A murder trial in Tampa began Monday with the defendant screaming at the jury.
And today, veteran deputies and firefighters described their emotional reactions to finding young victims at the murder scene. 8 on Your Side's Jeff Patterson joins us live from the courthouse and see how things went today. Jeff?
Good evening, Stacey and Keith. Well, Ronnie O'Neill faces the death penalty if he's convicted of killing his girlfriend, their severely disabled daughter, and stabbing their son. Still, he continues to insist on acting as his own attorney.
Today, prosecutors showed jurors a bent and broken shotgun they say was used by Ronnie O'Neill to first shoot and then beat Kenyatta Barron to death at their Riverview home. Jurors also watched a video today of the chaotic scene in March of 2018 as recorded by a neighbor. As first responders arrived, Barron's lifeless body was in front of a neighbor's home. The state contends after Ronnie O'Neill killed Kenyatta Barron, he then murdered his disabled daughter with an axe before stabbing his son. In court, O'Neill is acting as his own attorney.
Did you see anybody kill anybody?
O'Neill's mood today, much more subdued than during his opening statement when he screamed at jurors. The night of the murders, firefighter Donald Foster was one of the first to arrive.
And I don't remember if it was a deputy or a bystander came by and said that there's another child inside the house.
Foster entered the home.
I could see a faint orange glow somewhat off to my left.
And described a nightmarish scene.
And I realized that the floor was covered in blood.
In heavy smoke, he crawled to a back bedroom.
Everything in the room was on fire. So clothes, wall, ceiling. Once again, visibility was limited.
And in the middle of the flames, found what he was looking for.
I thought I had found a patient.
He and another firefighter took the little girl outside, but it was too late.
What did you do then?
Hugged my other firefighter and cried, to be honest with you.
Tomorrow is expected to be one of the most emotional days of this trial, as Ronnie O'Neill's son is expected to testify and tell jurors how he watched his father kill his mother. Live in Tampa, Jeff Patterson, 8 on your side.
Man, as I'm recording this, I'm scrolling social media. We don't have to say allegedly anymore because Mr. Ronnie O'Neill admitted to killing his girlfriend in his closing arguments. He said, and I quote, "I did kill her, but if you're going to tell the story, tell the story how it really happened." So I'm supposing that he is maintaining that he was fighting in self-defense and that the prosecutors and the judges involved in the case attempted to, you know, skew it to make it seem as if it was something other than that. Who really knows his reasonings behind it? I do send my prayers to his family. Now, with that being said, I'm going to get into rapid fire nothingness and then we going to get out of here because we are actually running behind schedule and that is my fault. I apologize. It's just been a lot going on. I've been working on my album and my EP. New Jersey Vibes is almost done. It is coming out very, very soon. I appreciate everybody for messing with me. Make sure you cop that fabulous Killing Them tee from nothingmerch.com. Make sure you join Everything Lit. It's a group on Facebook about the Nothing Podcast. Make sure that you subscribe to my YouTube channel. That is Nothing Podcast on YouTube. My last video is up to 200 views. So thank y'all. Run them up to 1,000 views for me. It is called The Truth About Jadakiss. Is he overrated? In this video, I break down the decline of Jadakiss through his career. This is part one of my Bumma Kiss series where I am going to basically break down different reasons where I believe that Jadakiss is overrated. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't call myself a fan of Jadakiss, but I respect his pen. I respect his bars. I respect what he has done for hip hop. But overall, the expectation of what Jadakiss was supposed to be compared to what he is, we can talk about that in a different conversation. But if you're keeping it a full bean, then you don't really believe that he has lived up to the expectation that it was supposed to be. Okay, so with no further ado, let's get into this rapid fire nothingness. Shout out to all the Black creators on TikTok that are refusing to create dances and make the new Megan Thee Stallion song Thot Shit popular and trend. They are on TikTok basically claiming that TikTok wouldn't be shit without the Black creators. Shout out to them because I agree with that. Excuse me. Shout out to everybody that still supports Versus. That Trina and Eve Versus, I couldn't even watch it. Eve just looked incredibly way too rich. And I didn't like the fact that they had the Skype. That was really corny. If Eve couldn't be there, then it shouldn't have happened. I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure she did that favor for Swiss Beats. But yeah, that was a whack ass Versus. I didn't watch it. So shout out to everybody that watched it and enjoyed it. Speaking of Versus, it might not mean nothing to you, but I'm feeling like Lil Bow Wow and Soulja Boy do not have enough. What's the word I'm looking for? Press, enough people interested in their Versus to make Timbaland and Swiss Beats move forward with the Versus because they've been going back and forth on Instagram, fake arguing with this WWF bullshit. Little Bow Wow done already admitted that it's fake, it's phony. So I don't even understand why they continue to do it, especially after Soulja Boy
and Bow Wow both said on live that they're going to put out an album. Now, I'm not too sure how much they are going to actually put out an album, if that's just some shit that they were saying, trying to big up this fucking Versus. But whatever the case it is, I am really, really sick of Little Bow Wow and Soulja Boy. So if they actually have to have this Versus so they can go away, please, 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 let's make that happen. Shout out to fucking Nick Cannon. This nigga got super sperm. He got a Wildin' Out girl pregnant, and now he's about to have his seventh kid. Lord knows what he's going to name that little motherfucker. Nick Cannon just keep on making babies, and I can't be mad at him because he can afford them, and it ain't like anyone has come out and called him a deadbeat, so shout out to him. Let's see what else we got going on. Real quick, I just want to say, for everybody that's making excuses for Rory and Maul's podcast sounding like shit, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And this is why I get into arguments with certain motherfuckers who are not creators, who are not content creators. Their standards when it comes to podcasts, web series, they're incredibly low. This is why motherfuckers is out here making mad money giving y'all bullshit, because y'all accept bullshit. Rory and Maul were on the number one podcast that has arguably the best sound quality of any podcast for over 5 years. And y'all over here justifying the fact that their podcast sound like shit and look like shit is unacceptable. Rory is in the studio all of the time. They have access to studios, engineers. I know every engineer is not Parks, but their podcast can sound a lot better than it does. The reason that it doesn't is because those niggas are starting to learn something that Joe Button figured out a long time ago. This shit ain't cheap. This shit costs money. And to get the type of quality, you need to spend money. So while them niggas was claiming that they was being robbed and they was being extorted and all of this, yeah, this is where the money was going. That beautiful video that comes out twice a week and the extra footage on Patreon and how you sound when we listen to you from our headphones or from our surround sound system, yeah, that's what Joey was paying for. Now y'all niggas looking dumb out here with your podcast sounding like you recording it in a bathroom. That shit is garbage. And I know my podcast is not 100% best audio quality, but it has definitely come a long way from where it started to where it is now. And it will continue to grow as I get more sponsors, as I get to bigger bags as it pertains to this podcast. The first and foremost I'm working on is the audio, because what's the point of listening to something that sounds like garbage? Shout out to Big Meech. He's coming home early, even though there was some Republican pundit that got on Instagram trying to throw 50 Cent under the bus, claiming that he has robbed Big Meech and he's extorting him for his story, but giving him crumbs. I don't know that to be true. As far as I know, 50's a pretty stand-up guy. I guess we can hear what Big Meech has to say about that. Fuck Gemma. If you don't watch The Shy, this might not mean nothing to you, but fuck Gemma. Fuck Jake. If you want to know who Gemma and Jake is, I recommend you tap into season 4 of Showtime's The Shy. It's always the earthy bitches. Always the earthy bitches. And is there anything else that I want to tap into? Her's album is really beautiful. I haven't heard it all, but from what I heard, it's great. So if you're into R&B, make sure you tap into the Her album. Yeah, and I think that's pretty much it. Besides everybody turning themselves into a Pixar movie or a cartoon, I swear to God, when Facebook, Twitter, Instagram get a hold of something, y'all niggas run that shit into the mud, man. That shit is just incredibly crazy to me. But hey, you got to get it how you live. You got to do what you got to do, man. But without further ado, we're going to get into this last couple of songs and we're going to get up out of here. If you love me, I love y'all. Shout out to everybody that supports me and everything lit. And we up out of here.
Fuck it, I'm going straight now.
Hey,
so much water on my neck, it's like I'm detoxing. 2 drums and 2 sticks, I'm beatboxing. Hey, I wish he would, we gon' treetop him. I just blew 150 out the safe, I had to restock them. Fuck a Grammy, I got the streets watching. And for my bro, I wear that red until I'm dead, I know that he watching. Left my ex bitch, cause she toxic. Got this new bitch, now we toxic, can't cap, I be toxic. Told them pussy niggas keep watching.
Always got the 40 on me with the beaming. Plus I keep options, ready to get it started. VV's on my chest, now I'm cold hearted. Diamonds go retarded. Living in big houses from apartments, bitch, I made it out. My money and my loyalty, two things I'm never playing about. My opposition's trying to take me out. And I'm fucked up in the head and they gon' make me bring my brazy out. Fuck what you thought, ain't shit to think about. A 20 pack of get 'em whack. Tell my head up, fuck it, lay 'em out. We gon' ball regardless. 20 bottles in my section, look like alcoholics. Free my blood of murder gang, I hope you beat them charges. I've been on that private plane, champagne when we depart. OG out the guard. So much body on this bitch, can't even park it. I don't never rent my jewelry. If I wear it, bitch, I bought it. That's cause I could afford it. I've been fucking up these rap beats so long it's getting boring. They like, M.A., how you been? Can't even call it. I just handle business, mind my business, feet up in my office. Probably counting racks up, my stacks look like math books. The money turn me on, it's just something about how that cash look. Damn, bad bitch, she need her ass whooped. She a pretty little dicky, but hey, little mama, how that bag look? You look good, but if you broke, then that's a bad look. Turn around, I'ma get that last
one. Yeah, I get this shit in blood, homie. Bitch, I got my own fight, don't need security in the club. All they woofing on the neck, nigga, I thought you was a thug. I ain't got nowhere to go, I shot up everywhere they was. Yeah, you know who took this shit from you, come get it back in blood. Bitch, come get it back in blood. We ain't mask up, no Dodger X, niggas know who it was. It's doing shit just like the 80s, want some back, get it in blood. Yeah, you know who took this shit from you, come get it back in blood. If a nigga killer ain't dead, you sure wear no RP shirt. We had 300 shots up in the car before we picked up dirt. Niggas who ain't got shit going, go grab a glizzy, get alert. Shots to G-Post RP, and Reezy in the dirt. You gotta know I go too far. Up on this honey, one of them might stand for O Block. About 20 some shots left up in the K, 15 still in the Glock. Keep my door locked and stop. I like getting on feet, park the car. We get up close, do them dirty, I ain't showing love. 11,000 all ones, left my right pocket in the club. These blue faces up on me dirty, I went got it out the mud. If I took some, get it in blood, I don't give a fuck where we was. Bitch, I got my own, if I don't need some credit in the club. All they wolfing on the knee, nigga, I thought you was a thug.
Cushion and swisher, money over bitches. Never kill a woman unless she a witness. All about my business, survival of the fittest. She let me hide my weed in her titties. Bitch, I got the cash in a rubber band. I got the Glock, already cocked. Boom, fucking with a nigga, meet my motherfucking goons. Sorry for the wait, call the folk coming soon. Light it up, cause I'm a smoker. She tried to deep throat, I fuck around and choked her. It's young money, motherfucker, game over. Shots leave your body looking like you're doing yoga. And Lord knows I'm a sinner, pain pills for dinner. Bitch, I'm getting money like I got a money printer. Got a chopper and a trimmer, shooting like Jimmer. You're coming in that water, boy, you better be a swimmer. I ain't worrying about y'all, I'm sitting in my house. Why Miss Anita Baker say you bring a meat jar? Straight out of jail and did my thing on these bars. And we all yell, fuck you, bitch, and kept going. I'm on, and that's right, baby. And I ain't going out this bitch without a fight, baby. One request, please don't bite, baby. I got some bomb-ass pussy from a white lady. I ain't lying, I'ma shine like a nickel or a diamond. I smoke a lot of weed to keep them bitches off my mind. Girl, stop talking that shit. Gon' suck a nigga dick for a new outfit. And even if the sky come falling, bitch, I'ma still be high. I got faith in my weed, man. But little niggas got yay by the beanbag. Hit your ass.